Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio and together partners at Amity Kett.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today.
We are so excited starting our second season of Design Oracles. And we came up with something we're really excited to talk about, human behavior and home design.
Yes. We approach our work very scientifically, don't we, Diane?
Right, yeah. Well, also with lots of feeling.
Lots of feeling, yeah. And love. And so kind of looking at, we talk to our clients a lot about what we have observed about how other people interact with their home, how they approach their home, how they live in their home. And also, we've, of course, studied it, and we have a particular book that we want to talk about today.
One of our books we really love to read, and one of my favorites, I was really inspired by it in graduate school when I started to learn about the importance of research in design. So it's a book called A Pattern Language, and it's by Christopher Alexander, which is kind of the main author that's known, but there's a bunch of other authors: Sarah Ishikawa, hopefully I'm pronouncing these right, Murray Silverstein, Max Jacobson, Ingrid Fixdal King, and Shomo Angel. So it took them about 8 years to write it. It was all research, and it was actually awarded the first AIA award for research. And what they did was they studied what they called patterns and looked at design problems and provided a solution or a design solution for certain things. And so they'd get as much as detailed as the front door to the street or an office parking lot. And it's just a fantastic book. And sometimes I'll just pick it up and open it up to wherever it falls, and I find something really fun and interesting to read. So Amity has also looked at it a lot.
Yeah, Diane told me about it. I got the book. It's an amazing book. I keep it in my office. I, too, also just pick it up and kind of see where it falls, and I'm always inspired by it. It just reminds me to think about things in a pattern way, how people flow through a room, and I think just in our profession, we apply our own ideas of how these things work just from observation. And then reading it in that book and understanding that there's actually these great minds that have already considered all of these things is reinforcing. So today, we're going to talk about one aspect of home design, basically, which is essentially the approach.
Yep, curb to door.
Curb to door, right. And we were talking earlier before we started recording about realtors talk about this. They talk about curb appeal.
Right.
And that's sort of become one of the ways that people talk about it. But really, there's so much more than just the drive up, look at it. Do you like the way it looks from the outside?
Well, there's a lot that goes into that. So like we said, from curb to door, why does it feel good or why should it feel good? So there's this intimacy gradient as well and sequencing of events as you go from the curb to the front door.
Yeah, and I think everybody approaches your house differently. Not everybody, makes it past the front door, right? Sometimes it's just a delivery person dropping off a package. It's a salesperson ringing the doorbell. Sometimes it's family members coming and they have a different way of approaching the house. Maybe they come in through the garage versus the front door or a side entry. And so kind of planning that out and thinking it through and making sure that ideally, if you want these people to be welcomed there, that they have a comfortable place to be as they're accessing the home.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then also when you drive in, so you're coming in by car as opposed to walking up the street, or maybe there's no driveway off the main street. It's entering from an alley in the back.
Yeah, I always think it's nice when you have the ability to have a driveway that faces the side of the house versus the
mm-hmm.
front.
Yeah, corner
or
street.
An alley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot to think about. And we do think about that when we start laying out a house, or even if we're working with an existing house and remodeling and adding on, we think about a lot of all that approach.
I have a client that actually has a side porch. They have a main porch, little front porch that's beautiful and kind of presents itself to the street. But then they've got a gracious side porch that they basically hang out on. It's like a second living room for them. Hmm. And it's interesting, as I've spent time in their home and I'm there, the delivery people come to the front door and leave packages on the steps. But all of their friends come around to the side of the house because they know that's where to find them. So it's kind of a second tier of intimacy.
Yeah. Just that intimacy gradient.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I think kind of what you're talking about, how the delivery person goes to that main entrance. I mean, placing the main entrance is really important because it needs to be really clear to people where it is and how to approach it. So someone isn't trying to find the door around the house. They know exactly where to go. You don't want it to be too far away, but pretty easily accessible. Right?
Didn't Frank Lloyd Wright have something about hiding the front door?
Yeah, he usually liked to have them to the side or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's fine, too. It's just a matter of making sure you know to direct where to find that front door.
Yeah, and sometimes the thing to think about is landscaping.
Yeah,
like landscaping, hardscaping, making
the sidewalk.
Sure there's a pathway. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there are regional aspects to this as well. We all know and think of like a southern porch hanging out on the porch drinking lemonade.
Yeah, like the entrance shape,
right.
Like you're saying, regional. Also, you know, with different housing styles, I mean, like mid-century modern, it might just be a flat roof or a pitched roof on a bungalow house. And I think making sure you have some type of covered entry somewhere does indicate where that entry is going to be, even if it is to the side and not necessarily facing the street.
Yes, indicating pathways and indications of location for entry with things like a simple awning. I have a client who has a townhouse that didn't have, when she moved into it, did not have any kind of covering over the front door. And so the water was coming in and it was uncomfortable. And it took a while for her to even realize why it was an uncomfortable way to enter. We added a striped awning with a little scallop on it off the front of the house. And all of a sudden it felt gracious and welcoming and kind of like a hug when you come in versus that kind of unfriendly stand in the rain or in the sun kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like you said, you did a vibrant color. I mean, thinking about color, too, we always talk about the front door color or like if you're adding an awning, colors. And so that also indicates this is the entry. This is the public entry.
Your first moment to show off who you are and who's coming in. So we've got shelter from the weather, rain and sun, a place, a waiting place for people as they're waiting to be allowed into the house or ask a question, a place to leave packages.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, in design, transitional spaces take the most thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a transitional moment. Just when you're transitioning from a living room to a kitchen, same thing, but transitioning from outside in.
Well, there's like the flooring, whether it's a wood floor, concrete, stone tile, gravel, and then there's the path. Whether mm-hmm. it's going from the street or the driveway. And maybe the driveway is a different material than the street. So maybe you go to a gravel driveway and then maybe you have these stone pavers. You then go up to approach the door and then you hit wood.
Lots of materials to think about, right? Yeah. And actually, I think it's funny, too, to me because we're actually landscaping a studio space that I have. And we're thinking about where do we want clients to park? And where do we want employees to park? And where do we want the delivery people to pull up? And a lot of, since the space has not been addressed yet, has not been designed, it hasn't been finalized, there is chaos. It's chaos. People don't know which door to come to. It actually causes people stress when you're coming, when you're arriving at a new space, whether it's somebody's home or an office or it just not knowing where to go can cause anxiety. I've had employees come and not new employees applying for a job, not knowing where to enter can be stressful. So these are really important things to think about. And if you don't want to be welcoming, that's okay too.
Yeah,
you don't want people
right.
to know where your front door is. That's
yeah.
okay too. But it's important to think about that relationship mm-hmm. of what's it like when I pull up outside to when I come all the way in and the change of materials and lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah,
another big
right.
aspect. So a lot of times when clients are finishing up the interior project, maybe we're just doing interiors on a project or mostly interiors, They'll start to live in their space a little bit differently, and it changes how they want the outside to work.
Yeah, right. And it should be lit. And, you know, another thing is like fences, the garden gate, that kind of indicates, okay, here's where you go through, and then here, this leads you to the path, and then maybe there's a cool arbor you go through. And I mean, there's so many sequencing of events you can do.
There's opportunities for design within all that. And then, you know, I lived for a long time in New York City, and as I was thinking about this podcast and thinking about approaches there, one of the reasons I actually left New York City was because of the stoop situation at my building, and having to pull children and groceries up a stoop was really a big factor. But in New York City or in other big cities or places where there are transitional spaces that don't have yards that connect directly to the street, the stoop becomes its own intimate space, an intimacy gradient. The people that sit on your stoop are usually close acquaintances, friends, or family. Maybe they don't make it to the front door, but they make it to the stoop, and that's where people gather. And then you kind of spit out right onto the sidewalk in some places, but sometimes you're not. Maybe there's a little garden there. So those are kind of thinking about entrances in different regional spaces. But it is important for it to be thought through. And you know, the stoop has definitely taken on an iconic view from Sesame Street to Sex and the City.
The
date
night.
And yeah, so I think that's an interesting thing to think about. And that also brought to mind lobbies a little bit. I know we don't do as much commercial design, but that's a waiting place in a lot of residential spaces.
Yeah. And there's some cool lobbies out there.
Yeah. And they're fun places to be. And maybe people don't make it all the way to the elevator.
Yeah.
They just start there. And what does that tell us about the people who live there? So it's just an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. And then when you said the hoisting the kids and groceries up the steps, so maybe the person who lives in the house, they drive in and then they have a different door, like how you were talking about the other people with their side porch. So maybe there's a side door in the back where you're not going up a couple of steps and you walk in and we have the transition moment of here's a dump zone and everything, whereas the front door leads you to a beautiful foyer.
Yeah, you get
where you don't want to dump your backpacks and purses and tennis rackets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's more civilized if you have another entrance, isn't it? Just keeps the house cleaner.
So thinking through that also when you're designing a home as well with the curb to door.
Yeah, we also have a client who their neighbor, well, their neighborhood in general tends to have happy hours outside, especially I think during, you know, lockdown people.
Yeah, everyone was outside in the front yard, right? They were making front stoops.
Yes, they're creating them. So as we've been designing their house, we have had a couple of conversations about where are we going to drink on the front? Where we need space for access for neighbors to come over on the outside. And let's not forget the all-important Halloween.
Yes, right. Halloween candy.
Yeah.
Giving out Halloween candy. A lot of people are out on their front porches giving out Halloween candy. It's always a big community event. Usually there's some people that don't do it, but
decorating your front porch. Yep. That's the indicator, right? If the light's on and there's a pumpkin outside, you're allowed to ring the doorbell.
Yes.
And if not. So it's just really interesting to think about that. And, you know, what do you want people to feel when they arrive for how it looks? And then what do you want to feel when you pull up to your house? And how do you want to enter that house? And what will that transitional space be like?
But yeah, a lot of social things happen on that front porch. There's morning coffee and tea. There's, you know, evening glass of wine maybe with your neighbor, or, you know, why don't you come over and let's sit on the porch and talk. I've put the kids to bed, or, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Because those monitors work pretty well, those baby monitors out on the driveway.
Although mom's intuition is usually really good, too.
So I think the other thing is just distances, you know, and you know, I think about people who want more privacy and they have the opportunity to set their house further back off the road, and, you know, thinking about how far are you going to have to walk to access. And I think that's an important thing to think about, and whether or not you have a gate or no gate. And then visitability, what is that word, Diane?
Visitability
for people who maybe are in need a walker or a wheelchair.
Right.
Yeah. All of these kind of go into the design aspects.
Thinking about thresholds. Yeah.
Yeah. For stepping in and stepping out.
Another thing is like trees. A lot of times we'll have trees to work around. And sometimes, I mean, there's probably more times then I would think there's a tree right in front of the front door that just grew over time. And, you know, and then everyone loves the tree. And so a lot of times we have to work around the approach getting to the front door, and we'll come up with these designs. And a lot of times the old sidewalk has just come up out of the ground because the tree roots have gotten so big.
It's popping up.
So thinking about how you meander through to get there, that's oftentimes something to think about too.
And we have a client now too that has a very complicated lot, and they are left at this point with very little flat yard for playing. As we are rethinking the design of the space, just creating that little bit of just flat lawn where a kid can kick a ball or a dog can run is important to think about. And whether or not that's going to go on the outside of their gate and be at the front of the house, or whether it's going to be on the side of the house, those activities and that interaction
is very important. Yeah, a lot of times you want some good visibility from the inside to those areas too.
Yeah, absolutely, so, like a screen porch, et cetera.
Yeah. So thinking about also curb to door is kind of the shape of this house. You know, there's a pattern called sheltering roof, which is real interesting, talking just about roof shapes and how roof shapes can make you feel if it's like a big roof and there's dormers, and so the whole second floor is encased in the roof. Or maybe it's a flat roof and you don't really see much roof. You see a little bit of roof, and then there's all the materials. There's clay tile, shingle, metal roofs, and then just thinking about how does that feel coming to the front, and then thinking about the delineation of that front wall too, and also materials. You know, in a lot of the spec home suburb neighborhoods, they're always requiring masonry on the front, right? And then on the sides is siding or whatever. And it's because you have that first image of that curb appeal coming up to the front. So thinking about, and maybe that's why I think porches are so important, because it gives that proportion and scale as you're approaching the house instead of maybe a 2 or 3 story tall wall. And then is there any insulation in that? Are there windows that come forward, or how big are the windows? Can you see all the way through the house? I mean, I've had some clients that want big front glass doors with glass side lights so they can always see who's out there on the street. They can run out and say hi. They want to know what's going on. And then I guess if they want to be private, they pull a curtain. But they don't think they even put a curtain on the door. They just love having that. And then there's some people I've had where they want no one to see into their house whatsoever at all. And we would just design basically a door.
Closed
off.
All
you could
no
see
piercings.
To get in. And then, of course, the back was complete glass. But so it's... there's a lot of things thinking about
and
in
then,
that curved door.
Diane, I can't remember what they're called, like at Mistletoe, the side drive, the...
oh, the porte cochere.
The porte cochere. There it is,
oh,
the
yeah,
porte cochere.
So
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I always think of Cary Grant and the Philadelphia Story, those sort of colonial houses that have a side drive with a porte cochere that you can access. And I think... that would be where family would enter.
Right,
it's sort of a side entrance, and I think those are beautiful. We have a lot of Southern homes have them. I don't know where else they might
I think there's some colonials
that do. Yeah, So I think that's a really very pretty little add-on.
Yeah, porte cocheres are always wonderful. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't always get to do them. No one really wants to spend the money on them, I guess. They always will design them. When we are fortunate to get to design them, they get cut out of the budget, but... because they're not like a garage. They're not necessarily a carport. They're just kind of this shelter from the rain to get in. I had a client one time that was her number one thing she wanted in her house. And then when it came to budget, her husband's like, well, let's get rid of the porte cochere. And I said, wait a second. That was her number one. I was like, we cannot get rid of it. That's her number one. You can't get rid of it.
Did it go away?
It did not go away.
Good. I got saved.
But it's always something so nice to have that then when it comes down to it, you're like, well, I could live without it. I've lived without it for this many years.
Right? It's interesting that you bring up the money situation with it because, yes, so the front of the house being clad in a different material than the sides, so that that's presenting itself and setting a tone for what might be happening in the interior or making it relate to the neighbors or whatever that is. But then there's also the front door itself, which, as you mentioned earlier, is a really important aspect of or people think a lot about that. And it's they tend to cost a lot more than regular doors. And they're an investment piece. They're kind of a very important welcome to people, whether it's solid or has side lights or doesn't have side lights or is stained or is painted.
The door hardware
that goes onto it. And all of that just tells people information about you.
A door knocker.
Yeah, whether it has a door knocker or not. I think that's a really interesting thing to think about. And I remember reading, and I think Diane and I have talked about this before, about there have been studies about what homes sell for and how to bring the property value up for when you're selling a house. And, of course, we all hear and know from all the shows, curb appeal is important. But front doors are really important, too.
Yeah.
And there was even
the most bang for your buck,
yeah,
right?
There was even a study that black front doors made houses sell for some large percentage more than red or blue or another color. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to mention that I love to get, you know, Diane was mentioning porte cochères getting cut from the budget and vestibules too, those sort of interior exterior vestibules that you see in London townhouses or a lot of times in or like in cities that I mentioned, New York earlier.
They have lots of weather.
They have weather. That's exactly the reason for it. And growing up in, you know, central Texas, I did not have an understanding of why that was such a big deal. And then after living for 15 years in a place that was filthy and snowy and wet in New York City, I have a better appreciation for that moment where you come in and you know, whether it's a mudroom off the side of the house where you can drop everything and take off your muddy clothes and things that are wet, or if it's at your front door for your guests too, to be able to put their umbrella down or take their coat off. And I love that that gives the opportunity too for the flooring material to change to do tile.
Yeah. It's also kind of an airlock for the cold weather coming in.
True.
Because then there's another door to go in the house.
Yeah, we're building one now and we were reminded we need to make sure it gets ventilated properly and conditioned properly. It's not a because the doors on both sides will be painted wood and you want to make sure that they're conditioned properly. So just really interesting that regional factor and kind of not, you know, not understanding what other people are suffering through or getting to be part of.
My cousin's house in England, inside their front door is a built-in one of those, I can't remember what they're called.
Oh, like a rush matting?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And I mean, it's been there since, I don't know, 100 years or something. Well, not the actual material, but, you know, that concept. So you come in and it's like you're scrubbing your feet from, of course, in England, you have lots of muddy days and putting your wellies there. And
I love that. Yeah. You see that only place you see, or I haven't seen it as much in residences in America, but you do see it in places that have bad weather or lots of weather, and also a lot of commercial spaces will have that. So you have that opportunity. It's an inset rush matting or rubber matting or something that's set in the floor, and you can – it's inset, so it's level with the rest of the floor, so you don't have transition issues, and you can take it out and replace it because you've provided opportunity for that.
See, anything else? I guess – oh, I was also thinking about the garden. We kind of touched a little bit, but sometimes you could make a courtyard – lining it with lots of pretty little shrubs or creating an arbor. And then sometimes, you know, you might have a house that's high up off the street. And so you have to really think about how you're tiering to get up there with steps, because you don't want to have like 20 steps going up to your house, right? That looks like, heck no, I'm not going to do that.
It's like a bank.
Yeah. So have you ever gone to the Spanish Steps? The most number of steps they have in one run is 12, because that's what's comfortable to the human form. And so and then there's a landing. And so although a lot of times I don't usually like to do 12 at one time, but just depending on how many we have to do and then just having these landings as you go up so it's not so awful. I went to one house, I think it was about last year, and it was mostly to work on bathrooms and kitchen and that kind of thing inside. But the husband said, I really want to do something about these front steps. And I said, yeah, I was out of breath by the time I got up here. There were many.
It's not good when you have
to wait. Their driveway was like a, you know, 45-degree angle going up and around the side. And I said, yeah, we could definitely work on that with, you know, how you approach the house with a few steps and then a landing and then coming around.
Yeah, maybe you just go switchbacks or something.
You can do that too,
space.
Yeah.
Because I do think you don't want people to be afraid to pull into your driveway or embarrassed that they can't breathe by the time they get to the top of the stoop, which would be me.
And integrating planners as well and just making it feel good that you're going up all these stairs and helping you not realize you're going up all these stairs, right?
Give you a break. I do think, too, those circle drives can be great for entry and exit.
He was talking about trying to get one of those in there, which although, well, we actually, I did that on another house, actually, a few years ago, where we kind of terraced it up to then have it wasn't a really wide circle drive, but you could get one car around. Mm-hmm. And then that really helped mitigate that height difference from the street to the house.
Yeah, I have a couple of clients that when I go visit them, I think before I get there, how am I going to get out? Where am I going to park? Because I haven't worked with Diane on the project, maybe. So the driveways are a little awkward. There's not maybe the turnaround space or just the road is narrow. And so having to think too much about entry and exit isn't good. So that's why it's important to plan. All these things are just important to plan. All of these things can be dealt with. There is a solution for all of them. It's just a matter of thinking it through. And that's what knowing what people's patterns are, what their activities are, how they're going to live in their space, what impression they want to make from the front. Do they have, you know, do they want privacy? Do they want a gate? Do they want a fence? What kind of view through they want? That, of course, begins to relate to windows and window treatment and piercings at the front of the house. And so these are all just things to take into account, and they can all be addressed if we know about them. So it's important for us to understand that for our clients and about our clients, as opposed to thinking about it after the whole house is finished. And then we think, okay, now what do we do with the approach?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the window treatments, you actually, an image just popped in my mind of like some of those country villages in England and France that I've seen where the road is right up almost to their house, right? And the front door, if they walk out, they have to make sure they don't get hit by a car. And what's lovely, they have those windows and they have that beautiful lace.
Oh, yes.
Where you can see
it
through, but you can't see. Mm-hmm. And it's just so common there. And it's because of that. And also because some of those areas don't get as many sunny days. So they want to make sure they still get the light, but they need that privacy. Mm-hmm. So
I love it. Any opportunity for lace is good to me.
Yeah. You just don't ever see that really very much here. Anyway, as you can see, we can keep talking a lot about curb to door and how important it is to think about.
Important to think about. And don't fret. If you haven't thought about it, it can still be managed through some architectural changes at the face of the house.
Landscape.
Some interior changes at the windows through landscaping.
Your front door.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, let's not forget the ever unfriendly planting cactus right where people might want to park on purpose, which is a big thing here in Texas, to try to keep people from maybe banging into your mailbox, et cetera. Okay. Well, thank you all. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.